Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, families, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. The technological divide in America's education systems is a pressing issue for students from under-resourced communities. These students face significant barriers that hinder their academic and future career success. The American education system continues to face significant disparities that prevent students from reaching their full potential, particularly in STEM fields. Dr. David Kanani is a leader in education innovation at LA ORC. Under ORC America, it is at the forefront of bridging this technological divide. His work involves integrating cutting-edge technology into STEM education. This transforming learning opportunities for students from under-resourced communities. Today's kids are always plugged in. They are born and raised on the internet. They are the Generation Z, or Zoomers, born between 1997 and 2012. Researchers say Gen Zers are spending more time on electronic devices and less time reading books. This is the first generation that has grown up with access to the internet and portable digital technology from a young age. The oldest Gen Z just recently turned 25. Dr. David Kanani joins 411 Teen via the Zoom platform. Dr. Kanani, I would like to welcome you to 411 Teen.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for coming.
And participate in the discussion with you.
What is the technological divide in the context of education?
The technological divide is that the underserved, underprivileged communities do not have the same level of access to the internet and the digital age and digital teaching. Mm-hmm. So, and that has to do with two factors. First of all, is the community that needs to participate, the parent needs to participate, the teacher needs to participate, and the principal of the school needs to participate. Participate meaning waking up and accepting that we have a divide here and try to see how we need to resolve it. Because we cannot afford to let this new generation, which is, as you mentioned, living on the internet, and they have more digital devices than reading book, to fall behind even further, okay, in whatever the technology and the STEM education has to offer in today's market. Okay. So the fact is, what we have done and what Los Angeles ORC has done is that we have developed a unique STEM program. We have another problem, Dr. Hollyfield, that you may be aware or not. Even in more affluent school and better district, et cetera, the high schools and the quality of the STEM teacher that they are teaching is not at the level that it should be. And they need also to really change. They have chosen to go the easy way, the easy path. And whatever they are offering, and they call it a STEM education, unfortunately, it is not the real STEM education. NGSS, The problem is that the new generation sciences standards from the Department of Education required some standard for what curriculum can be STEM. Our STEM curriculum and our STEM teacher training program has been certified by New York Academy of Science based on the 26 criteria and proficiency requirement of NGSS. Mm-hmm. We are one of the five STEM program that New York Academy of Science has certified. So we truly have, and during this conversation, I will explain what we have done and what we have put in our STEM program, both the curriculum for the students at high school level and both for the teacher, STEM teacher training and professional development, for them to truly have a real grasp of mm-hmm. what the STEM curriculum is and what STEM teaching means. We have prepared all of this document and we are offering it to the schools to really, wasting their time in the class or on the internet. They spend their time with some quality curriculum and education that they can use. As far as really reducing the gap, what we need to do, we need to reach out to the parents. We need to reach out to the community. Mm-hmm. We need to educate the principal of those underserved schools to recognize the quality of the program that they need to offer to their student and help them bring them to the level, okay, that they need to be at par with all the other schools in other districts that there is. We need to provide maybe free internet for those mm-hmm. households that they cannot afford it, so that their student, when they can come home and they have to do their homework, they have access. Today, in most high school, they have started using the digital platform to teach a student in the classroom. We need to have that digital platform available in the underserved, underprivileged district and area of our country. And on top of that, we need to, once that platform is done, we need to use a quality STEM curriculum in order to do justice to the time that the student and the teacher spend teaching that course. So we have prepared all of that in order to really do some service to the society and to our students in general, under the circumstances that we are.
Would you share with the listening audience what LA Art is?
Okay. LA stands for Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. ORT stands for a national, global, actually, educational institution, which was created in 1880, 142 years ago, 144 years ago, mm-hmm. okay, somewhere in Russia. The acronym of ORT comes from a Russian three letters, which says education through training. So the ORT stands is the acronym of those Russian word that means that we need to educate people through training or vocational training. So the ORT started in 1880 by teaching people who are in the ghettos by mm-hmm. getting them a trade. Trading, teaching them to become a carpenter, teaching them to become a plumber, to go in the open society and make a decent living and take care of their family and their children to be elevated and do better education. So based on that philosophy, Los Angeles ORT, which is one of the school of ORT around the world, is that we have developed this unique curriculum that I will explain to the audience what it is and what is the difference of what we have done versus all the other STEM programs in the market.
Share with the listening audience, what specific challenges do the students in under-resourced communities face, and you might be getting ready to do this, face in the STEM field? I mean, since, you know, we have these disparities, how are these disparities manifested within the students' communities?
The disparity appears that the students are not prepared.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Students do not have the background. Okay. The second thing is that the people who are in charge of our generally, okay, and mostly in the underprivileged school, they may not also be prepared, okay, sufficiently enough.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to do is we need to really get the community and the parents to get involved. And some of the problem in the underprivileged and underserved communities comes from the family situation. We need to take care of the family. We need to take care of the parents. We need to take care of the students to be able, from the beginning, to really have a decent education, to be able to handle real STEM that it is provided to them. Unfortunately, what has happened in underserved, underprivileged area is that the program gets diluted and diluted more often in order to really get by. We have to prevent that from happening. I need to bring to the attention of your audience that Pentagon, from the Department of Education, presented a 184-page report to Congress in February 2021. That report was called Industrial Capabilities. In that report, the Pentagon brings up to the attention of the Congress and says that what we are doing in our country in general, not just and more so in the underserved, underprivileged area, is that our university and colleges produce 800% less than the Chinese college and university produces in a STEM field.
Hold your thoughts right there. We'll come right back in about 60 seconds. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and I am having a very informative discussion with Dr. David Kanani. Dr. Kanani, you want to continue your thoughts?
Yes, I was saying that, so we, in a national basis, okay, we, the United States and Pentagon, has warned the Congress that we are facing, or we are going to face, a national security issue if we do not take care of our STEM education in our high schools and our university. This is on page 8 of that document. They say that the United States, okay, fails to modernize and adjust. It likely will, if faced to modernize and adjust, it likely faces a permanent national security. This is a warning. People need to be aware of that, because they say in the same report, they say that we will have availability for 1 million jobs in 2031, which is 10 Ooh. Years after when they brought the report.
Mm-hmm.
Our study shows that we will not have the manpower qualified to to satisfy those jobs.
How do you finance this? Excuse me, but, you know, we're talking about under-resourced communities. And what role does finance, does money play in this? They already are under-resourced. And everything you're saying is, I mean, I'm sure that the communities and the schools and the teachers, all of them need to be brought up to the standards and the requirements. But how do we do that, Dr. Kanani? If we're talking about communities, usually these are the poorest schools. They have the least resources. Where do we start?
The parent-teacher association in every community, they need to really watch over their schools in their own district to make sure that they have the up-to-standard curriculum, they have up-to-standard teacher, and they have up-to-the-standard way of really taking care of and offering all of these STEM education that our country and our school and children needs. So I believe that what we have to do, we have to have our parents and our schools. The only thing that we can do and we have done, we have prepared the quality material to use. Mm-hmm. They should not take the easy road and the easy program. They should spend the time and the money that the government gives to them in order to have the right people, okay, and the right equipment and the right facility and the right subject matter to teach, so that they give confidence to these students to really go and become part of the next generation, which is going to be a digital generation. The report said that 70% of that 1 million new job that we have is going to be in computer science. Mm-hmm. We need to educate and we need to encourage. Okay, it has to come from the people, the community, the parents, the teacher.
Okay, and I agree with you, and I'm following you all the way. But my position is, you know, some of these communities and some of these schools, first of all, we've already identified them as being under-resourced, have other issues that prevent them from doing what they need to do. Lots of times, the PTA, I know, in some of the schools are not that strong. They should be, and ideally that would be the situation, that the PTA associations would be very strong and parents would be monitoring. But in reality, at least I know here in Florida, I mean, we're down I don't know how many hundreds of teachers right now for the state of Florida. And right here in Tallahassee, we don't have enough teachers, we don't have enough substitute teachers, and it's a lot of it is about, and I agree with you, you know, not having the personnel, you know, not having those trained, but also we don't have the money. I mean, where does, and that's why I keep asking you about the finance. Are there programs that you know, schools, our counties can access? They aren't teaching all of this in college, so these teachers come out, even today's teachers, as you know, come out of school, and they aren't prepared to teach STEM. So I agree with you 100%. I just want to know, how do we, you know, where do we start, and how do we do something like this in communities that are really, really lacking in so many different ways?
Yes, Dr. Holyfield. Mm-hmm. What we can do as an educational institution, meaning Los Angeles ORT, okay, mm-hmm. is to prepare and offer quality curriculum for the student, mm-hmm. and quality STEM teacher training and professional development. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says, and it is also mentioned in the report from the Pentagon, that we lack 150, presently, we lack 150,000 STEM teachers in our high schools in United States, okay? So we have the program. Now, the whole situation is, yes, so we need to fight, and the government and the local government and federal government needs to allocate more financial aid or financial help for those districts which are lacking it, and we need to supervise and make sure that that money is spent in the right way with the right people. We have a lot to solve in those communities, and we have a lot to do, and everybody needs to get involved. As our part, as an educational institution, we truly and honestly have prepared a curriculum for the students and a STEM teacher training, a course for the teachers, so that when they take that course and when they pass that course, because they have to pass the course, then they are a real STEM teacher, and our students have learned real STEM program. Again, as I said, according to NGSS, criteria. But the parents, the family, the community, the government, the principals, the teacher, they all have to wake up. They all have to really come and join us and join with we. Each one of us can do a part of it. So we need activists who really promote the education with a good heart, with a good, put all the politics aside, put all the things aside. It has to be our view, and our action has to be only and only for the benefit of our students in high school, specifically and especially from the underserved, underprivileged echelon of our society. I grew up in Iran. Okay, I'm 77 years old. I've been in this country since 1975. Okay, I have a PhD from Princeton University. However, I grew up in a very, very, very modest or poor family. The things that helped me was the community in my little town who helped us to go through the elementary school at no cost to us, and even providing for us to live. My father passed away when I was 11 years old, and my mother was left with poor children. Okay. I was the second one, 11 years old, to raise us. And then ORT was there for me to go and get my education and get my food and get my dressing to be able to graduate. And then they gave me a scholarship to go to Geneva to get the engineering degree in nuclear physical electronics. And then I went back to Iran, and before the revolution, I taught 4 years in Iranian universities, and the Shah's regime gave me a scholarship to come to the United States to go to Princeton and get my PhD. But the revolution happened in Iran in 1979. I did not go back. And I stayed here, and that's why I have developed, and we have started this curriculum, and we are hoping to really propagate it and sell it and get it recognized. Okay, by all the community, especially the underserved community that we have. The mission of ORT has always been to help the underserved, underprivileged echelon of our society. And I will do that. And we will do that in every way that we have. And it is in our power to do that. Well, and so we have developed quality program so that these students do not waste their time. These teachers are not allowed, okay, to do shortcuts. They need to teach real STEM program that we have developed in order to really do something for our country and for our community.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, excuse me, but would you describe some of the initiatives that you're leading at LAR to bridge this technological divide? Share that with the listening audience so they can have a grasp of exactly the kinds of things that you are doing, if you don't
mind. Yes, if there is any school or any teacher in the underserved, underprivileged community that they need our help in order to help them to afford the program that we have, mm-hmm. or teach them or guide them, we are willing to do that. We okay. are willing to do that because that's the essence of what we are about.
How do they contact you? I mean, for those who are listening.
They can go to our website.
Okay.
So we, laort.edu. Okay. And they can contact me. My name is David Kanani. Okay. And the phone number for the school is there. Let them call and leave me a message. Hey, okay. I'm from this and this high school. Okay, I have this problem. We have these teachers, etc. What can you do for us? Then let me get in touch with them, and I will talk to them.
Okay,
and I will help them. I will help them to really do quality education and learn, and hopefully prepare the students to go the path that the country needs and they need in order to improve their way of living in this United States that we are.
Let me share the contact information. For those listening, it is laort.org. And
no, .edu. I'm sorry, .edu.
Oh, .edu.
That's
okay, at .edu. And it's Dr. David Kanani, K-A-N-A-N-I. Okay. I just wanted to make sure they
yeah,
got
please.
That. Yeah,
please. By all means. By
okay.
all means.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can continue your thought, but I just wanted to make sure they had that.
Yes. If you would like me to mention actually the phone number for the
yes.
school.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I can do that.
Please.
Okay. Have them please call 323-966-5444.
Okay. 323-966-5444. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
They can go on our website and they can send an email also if they wish.
Okay. Well, what are some of the common challenges in integrating technology into education? I mean, that one would encounter. What are the common challenges and how do you address some of those common challenges?
The common knowledge is a lack of access to the to the internet in
mm-hmm.
a sense. Okay. Lack of access because they don't have a good quality and high speed internet.
Mm-hmm.
They have the right equipment to connect, etc. But most importantly, the whole issue starts from the family, Dr. Holyfield. You know that. We need to get in touch with the family and the parents and talk to them. And we need to tell them why their students need to really study better, study well, etc. The government has to give whatever money they can give. I am not an activist with the federal government, etc.
Mm-hmm.
All they can do is to offer a quality education to their teacher and to their students. And we have done that, and we will offer that with all our heart to any community which needs to use it, okay, the way that they can afford it, etc. But the fact is that one organization alone like us, one school alone like us, okay, cannot solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come from the people who have some caring about, and they have some relationship and affiliation with that. We need to put our hands together in order to help every single every single student that we can, in their, from their home to the school, to the teacher who are taking care of them, to the curriculum that they use, in order to bring themselves up and be able to come part of the generation that is going to move this country forward. And we do not want to lag behind China and Russia anymore. We need to really bring ourselves up and go. So I'm here. I'm willing to listen to anybody in the community who wants to help their school. They can talk to me to see how I can help them, how I can guide them, how I can do whatever I can. We truly have developed a marvelous, a unique STEM program for them. So that I am sure. But how to really prepare them to be able to take that course, I'm willing to help to the extent that we can, to the extent that I have the knowledge to contribute. Mm-hmm. But it has to come from the people.
Are you finding that people are reaching out to you and taking advantage of this offer? I mean, this privilege to learn about STEM. How are the, my question is, how are the communities responding to this, recognizing that they are an integral part as to making a big difference here? Are they responsive? Are they interested? Are they motivated? I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts because it's almost time for us to take a break. But when we come back, I'd like to talk about, just get you to respond and wonder how the communities are. I am talking with Dr. David Kanani. He leads LA Orc and is an influential figure in the education sector. He has extensive experience in engineering and education.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned into 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I've been talking with Dr. David Kanani. Dr. Kanani, we were talking about what needs to be done, and I was asking you how the communities are responding, and I wanted to ask you to share that with us.
Yes, as I said, as well as the students, any parents, any teacher, any principal in the underprivileged community across the nation, not only in Los Angeles, because we do have a school in New York also, which serves the East Coast, and the Los Angeles Art College is for the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So, but we can offer. We have designed our course to be able to be taught online. Both the teacher training and the curriculum. Okay, so the curriculum can go on Moodle, so that the teacher in the classroom can use Moodle to teach our curriculum. We are preparing all of that. We are making it so easy so that everybody who is really interested and willing to learn quality education, we are offering it. I invite any leader, any parents, any principal of any high school who needs to hear what we have and what we can offer and how we can help them to contact me by calling or by email. Okay, my email is dkanani@laort.edu. They can email me. Then I will respond to them when we will put our heads together to see how we can help them. I would like to help because I have been beneficiary as somebody from the lower income society in order to come and really be able to reach a level to be able to prepare this program to offer. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing and open to really hear to anybody who sincerely wants to help the
under resource, yes.
Our communities,
yes.
Okay,
Let me ask you.
We alone cannot do it. It has to be a collective effort with all of us.
Are there particular career fields that are more affected than others? Would you share those career fields that are more affected than others with this disparities in the STEMs?
No, I'm sorry. The real what? I don't hear you well.
Are there particular career fields that are more affected than others with this poor STEM education, our lack of STEM education? Do you find that there's certain career fields that are more affected than others? And what are they? I mean, would like to know what they are.
Okay, most of our industries, need engineers.
Okay.
We are not producing enough engineers. Most of our industries at that point need computer programmers. Okay. We are not providing enough programmers.
Mm-hmm.
So the industries that most affected are mostly the technical industries. We have to bring quality engineers from abroad in order for our economy to go on, for our productions to go on, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm talking about the digital and a technology.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start from high school. We need to start from high school, expand that into our colleges. We need to fulfill that 150,000 shortage of real STEM program, mm-hmm. meaning that we need to combine all the materials of STEM, meaning science, technology, engineering, and math together. Explain it to our student in high school, how they intervene and intertwined and they work together. And our STEM curriculum is based, it needs to be project-based learning. One of the criteria of NGSS is that the curriculum needs to be on project-based learning. Our project that we have put in this curriculum is a mini-grid solar system. A mini-grid solar system, for your audience to know, in those rural areas, maybe some rural area in our country that do not have access to electricity, but mostly in those countries in Africa where people do not have access to national grid. So there is a system which is a small photovoltaic solar system which can transform the solar sunshine into electricity. That's called a photovoltaic solar system, or for short, a solar system. So a mini-grid solar system is a smaller system that does not need national grid.
Mm-hmm.
The people put it in the backyard of their house, and they can generate the electricity and become part of the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
Then they can have a refrigerator. Then they can have something so that they put their food in there, so it doesn't get bad.
Mm-hmm.
We have developed that. Our student coming, their mind opens up. They see all aspects of STEM in the advancement of people's life and advancement of the industry and our country. We have prepared all of that. We explained it to them. They can understand it from the beginning to the end. And at the end, we teach them computer coding in our course, so that when the mini-grid solar system that they have understood and how it's made, and they have put it together and it is working, then they can go and do coding and make a website to describe and to expose and introduce their project on the internet, so that people can come and see what they have done.
Okay.
This is a big accomplishment.
Oh yes, and so, I applaud you.
But people need to be ready, willing, How do I say, knowledge, or having the background, or giving them the background to be able to understand and do that. And people who come and teach this, their mind is open, so that when they go to college, they know what to choose. They know what to do. They know what to do for their own good and for the good of the country and for the good of the society as a whole. So we need to talk. We need to talk to all the people who are in charge of the underserved, underprivileged, the schools of those in our area, and see what we can do. There is a lot to do, but all of us have to contribute and decide genuinely and honestly how to help these people, so that we can help our students in the underserved, underprivileged of our community. I'm willing to do that. I'm open to talk to anybody.
You offer key tips in overcoming the tech divide. I mean, such as the enhanced connectivity and professional development.
That's right.
And student-centric tools and community engagement. And I just wanted to know if you would just briefly, for the listening audience, you know, touch on each one of those tips. Because parents need tips. Parents need tips about, they need tips about advocacy and awareness. And you're talking about the home learning environment and the community engagement. So if you would just offer, you know, just some tips.
I can, Dr. Hollyfield, I can get involved with any community who is willing to go through this transformation. I can go and talk to them. I can go and talk to the teacher parent association. I can go and talk to their high school. I can talk to the parents. I can talk to the children. I am so much in favor of what you are saying and we are doing, because I am the beneficiary and one of the beneficiary in a billion people in the world. Okay. Had I not had the opportunity to do what I have done, okay, I would not be where I am. I would like to express that to those students who are wasting their time, to those parents who are not paying attention to their children, to those high school which are wasting the time of our children in their high school, to wake up and do the right thing for the students, for the society, for the community, for the country. I'm willing to do that. Let them get in touch with me. I will do whatever I need in order to help any community who would like to pull himself or themselves up. I will help them to pull themselves up. I have no problem with that.
Okay. What is available? Also, since we got an understanding with the community and the local and county schools, but what is available for those at the university level? Because you've also identified that some of the problem, but not just some, a lot of the problem rests with just the education or the lack of education, a thorough education that teachers in training are receiving or are not receiving, you know. What's available there? What kind of resources
at the level of university? What you are missing is qualified student coming from high school to them.
Okay, I see. Good
qualified high school coming to them. I believe there are some statistics again that 40% or 50%, I don't know, of our students who go through STEM education in our college and universities are foreign students, not American students.
Right.
Because our high school have not prepared them. Okay? So we need, that's why
okay,
I started from high school. Okay, we need to go, and the high school takes us to middle school and take us to elementary school, etc., etc. But we have developed what is needed and the glitch in order for the students. And as I said before, truly and honestly, if our STEM teacher training is well received and well understood by the teachers who want to teach a STEM curriculum, If our student have the right curriculum and the right teacher to teach it, okay, then they will be prepared to go to the right field that the universities are open, so that they don't have to go and invite Indian students to come to our universities, or the students to come to our universities to fill up those seats. Okay, so we need to start preparing our students from elementary school and middle school, and I am preparing it at the level of high school for them to go to college. So, but I am willing to help with any community at any level that they want in order to make them happen, to pull themselves up so that their children, when they are going through the high school, they know what they want to be. They know what what they teach that they're going to learn in our universities, and we don't have to go and bring foreign students to do that. I'm willing. I can help.
So the first step is for them to reach out to you.
The first step is to reach out to me to see, for me to evaluate and help them to see how we can help. And then they need to put their hands together, because as I said, I am not, I am an educator. I have prepared the curriculum and the teacher training for what the country needs. Okay, now we have to resolve the social issues. So I'm willing to help that, because I have experience and I have been part of it and I have benefited from it, and I can share all of my experience. Yeah, I can help any community who wants sincerely to pull themselves up, to help them to pull out and come, and with the benefit of their students to be able to pass through high school so that they don't drop out and they get the correct education for them to go to our universities and get the education which is available for them to become a very effective and very productive and very successful part of our STEM education needed for the future of this country. And that's the Pentagon report says. And they warn us about that. If we do not move, if we do not do, we are going to lag behind. And we are gonna end up with a permanent national security in that field. So we cannot afford that. We should not let that happen. Let's put our hands together. Let everybody who needs any help that I can help. Okay, I'm not a social worker. I am an educator. But I have a lot of information I can share with the audience and the communities who need to guidance or they need advice to help them to see what we need to do for the student to reach the level that they can do, that they need to do.
And these last couple of minutes, and that's all we have, are there any, I got two questions, quick questions though. Are there any specific resources or programs that you suggest that the parents become involved in or become aware of? I mean, outside of yours. I'm asking that just for trying to get a feel for, you know, what they can do until they may not contact you initially. They might need to just kind of read and kind of digest some of this. And is there, you know what I mean? And is
yes,
there,
absolutely.
Yeah. What would you suggest?
Dr. Holyfield, the people, the parents need to get involved in the PTA of their high school or the elementary school. Also need to go and look at the curriculum that the high school is offering and not getting by. They need to really improve the quality of our education in our primary school, I mean elementary school, middle school, and high schools, in order to get them ready to go to college and spend their life in college. And the money that the government offers as a loan, student loan, and etc., in the most profitable way for themselves and for the country. The parent needs to be involved. I need to get in touch with those people who are running these schools to see what they are doing in their high school. I'm not I cannot. I do not have the efficiency, the proficiency, or the quality, the ability to help them with the elementary school or middle school. But I can talk about the high school and what they need to do in high school.
Well,
but
I thank you. I have to cut you off. I have to have you come back. But
okay.
it is time out for this edition of 411 Teen. I can't express my appreciation to you, Dr. David Kanani, L.A. Ork. I really appreciate you taking the time, and much appreciation to my listening audience for your time and your ear. This is Dr. Liz Hollyville inviting you to tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyville. Technical assistance was provided by Evan Rossi. If you would like to participate in the 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Teen at wfsu.org.